Hey, everybody. I am so excited about this episode. It kind of fell in my lap unexpectedly, and I had to turn it around really quickly, but Showtime PR folks reached out to me and asked if I wanted to interview Jackie St. James, the writer and director of Showtime's brand new late night show, Submission, and the lead actress, Ashlyn Yenny, who you've probably seen in some movies like The Human Centipede. But how could I say no to that? It's a show all about BDSM, but like a better version of 50 Shades, and by feminist porn director and writer Jackie St. James? Hell yeah! So I've got both of them on this hour, and I can't wait for you to hear it. I also can't wait for you to check out the show. And I just want to remind you, there's just a couple of days left to Masturbation May. So far, the winner by a landslide of the toy that everybody is treating themselves to is the Enjoy Pure Wand, which is a very solid choice. Pun intended, but also one of my personal favorite toys. So you've got a couple of days left. You get free lube with every purchase. Treat yourself. These are toys that have been personally tested either by me, Dylan, or someone very close to the show. So sex educator approved. You can go to sexgetsreal.com/May to take advantage of that. And here we go with the first half of our episode, Jackie St. James.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really excited to talk to you. For our listeners that don't know, Jackie is a feminist filmmaker in the adult industry. She's won wonderful awards and has been featured in many mainstream media articles and just has some phenomenal videos online. So definitely check her stuff out. But I can tell you, I've seen the first two episodes of Submission, and I'm completely in love, and I had to totally go take care of business after I watched it, so.
That's always a good thing.
I know, yeah. I'm just, like, loving it so much. One of the things that I know you really wanted to do with Submission was create a response to 50 Shades of Grey that really explored all the different facets of the ways we can experience sex, specifically in this case, around dominance and submission within the BDSM world. And I know our listeners are really curious about BDSM and many of them practice it. And so I would really love to know kind of what inspired you to do this and what it was like going through the creative process of creating a show for Showtime.
You know what's funny is, well, so for my job in the adult industry, my boss asked me to read 50 Shades of Grey, and I've made it no secret that I absolutely hated it. And mainly, I mean, it's not even, and I always make this disclaimer, it's not because the writing's bad, because I know E.L. James has gotten a lot of crap for that. And you know what? Props to her for sitting down and committing to writing a book, no matter how bad the writing is. Like, most people can't even say that they had the time or the fortitude to do that. So props to her for that. But I think where it really bothered me was in how horrifically a BDSM relationship was portrayed, and how inaccurately and how dangerously. And so I did a film called The Submission of Emma Marks in the Adult Industry as a response to 50 Shades. And it became so wildly popular, and it aired on Showtime. And so they were familiar with, in a softer version, mm-hmm. they cut softcore versions. And so at that point, my partner in this venture, Paul Fishbein, said, you know, let's talk to Showtime about potentially doing a late night series and see what they think. So we pitched an idea that was not in the BDSM realm. But because they liked my submission so much, the mm-hmm. submission of Emma Marks, they said, how about you repitch an idea that's in the BDSM genre? And so I did, and that's how Submission was ultimately born.
That's amazing.
I know. It's funny because, you know, I don't practice BDSM in my personal life, but people are always like, well, you're the go-to person for, you know, BDSM for couples. I'm like, okay, I'll gladly take that. I've done my research, so mm-hmm. yeah.
So how did you do that research to make sure that as someone who isn't necessarily in the BDSM world in your personal life, what was it like to actually do that research to make sure that you were really honoring the ways that people do experience it so that it was a lot more accurate than 50 Shades?
Yeah, I mean, I went to different message boards, and I mean, everything from like FetLife to like even Literotica, where people are writing BDSM stories. And I read a lot of feedback, and I asked a lot of questions about what people feel is missing in the depiction of BDSM. And it's funny because everyone always goes back to the movie The Secretary as being like the most and the only film that's really accurately portrayed it that was accepted by mainstream media.
Yeah.
That was, because that movie was, there's been other movies, but that movie was the one that was embraced so much by the mainstream. And I think a lot of the criticisms were that BDSM is often depicted as being violent and it's all about pain, and the psychological aspects are left out. So yeah. For me, I wanted to include those. But I will say, and I think that, you know, anytime you're sort of tackling a genre that is very, has a smaller, I guess, audience than what you would say, air quotes, normal, mm-hmm. like the standard, you know, missionary doggy style sex that a lot of people have and are scared to venture into the kink, you do open yourself up to a lot of criticism. And for me, I think what submission really does is it's not necessarily solely about BDSM. It's about one woman's experience in the world, or two women's experience in the world, and how that can manifest in very different ways for them.
Yeah. And I love that you are talking about the psychological aspects of like power play and BDSM. Because I think you're right. You know, I think so often that power dynamic gets missed by mainstream media coverage and by writers like E.L. James. Like, I just really feel like she didn't capture that so well. But yeah. I see that starting to come to life in the first two episodes of Submission, and that makes me really excited.
Good. I'm so glad. Yeah, you know what's so funny is in one of the first episodes, they're like, why didn't Skin Diamond's character establish a safe word? I'm like, this is all coming. It will all be answered. There's a lot of mystery right now because it's, you know,
yeah,
exposition. So you only have X amount of time to really tell the story. Mm-hmm. But if people hang on episodes 4 to 6, it's heavy BDSM at that point.
Nice. Yeah.
Starting next Thursday, we're going to get into some. And there is one thing we do on this show that's never before done in a mainstream television show. To my knowledge, we researched it, and I don't believe it's ever been done on TV.
Oh, my gosh. I want to know what it is so badly, but I guess I'm just going to have to watch.
Yes.
So I have to say, one of the things, I mean, just like minutes into the first episode, one of the things that made me so excited was there was pubic hair. So I loved that. I also loved that Skin Diamond's character in a bathroom scene uses a Crave vibe necklace.
Those things are amazing.
They're amazing. I know. I got mine off of their Kickstarter campaign, and it's incredible.
It's one of the most innovative, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, the average person won't know what it is, but you can kind of have that little...
that little naughty moment. Secret, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to use this on the drive home.
And I have. I was reading online, somebody was talking about the sex scenes that we've seen so far in the show and how they wish that there was real penetration and that it was actual intercourse and sex between the actors. And of course, that takes us into the adult realm and out of kind of network television. So what is it like as a filmmaker to navigate kind of the complexities of actors who are naked and have very little, next to nothing on and are simulating sex, compared to filming actual sex scenes with actors who are engaging in sex? I mean, what was it like to navigate that difference?
Early on in the casting process, I established very clear like instructions on what we were going to do, because a lot of these people are civilians or mainstream people that aren't as comfortable as a porn star would be just stripping down next to nothing and grinding on somebody. Mm-hmm. So it is challenging. fortunately, you know, the mainstream actors that we use, for the most part, I would say 90% of them were completely comfortable in their element. But it still becomes clunky, and there's really nothing sexy about it when you're shooting and a guy's wearing a cock sock.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how exciting it's really going to be. So, and I think the difference is, because see, while that's different than porn, what's different than mainstream is that in mainstream, most sex scenes are maybe like 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And so you can keep that heat and then you fade to black. Where this, we had required times that we had to shoot at least a 1 minute sex scene. So it then becomes almost like a dance routine of like, okay, avoid the cock sock, still try and make it look as hot as we can. And what ends up happening, and it was really funny because we shot everything out of order. It wasn't like typical television where they shoot an episode a week. We were shooting it like a feature. So it's like it was all shot out of order. But as you watch the episodes progress, the sex gets exponentially hotter. Mm. And I think that's probably because now we're getting deeper into the relationships. We know the characters. There was a scene in episode 6 that I actually masturbated to. And for me to say that, because I watched so much porn, like it takes a lot for me to be like, wow, that's hot. But it was insanely hot.
Oh.
And I can't wait to watch it. Yeah, it's the first sex scene in episode 6.
Hell yes.
Eva laughs. Eva laughs.
I know, I love that. Like, getting everyone off across America.
Exactly.
So do you have a favorite scene from the series that you can kind of tease us with that maybe doesn't spoil it? And it doesn't have to be a sex scene, but was there a point during filming where you just had this moment of pure delight?
Yeah, I mean, there is one scene, and it's kind of hard to... the reason why it was delightful for me was what I had previously said was the thing that had never been done on television.
Mm-hmm.
It potentially very terrifying for me to even imagine somebody doing this. It's something I would never want to do. I'd be just terrified. And our lead actress did it. And I think what was so exhilarating for me as a director is that was a shoot day that I very much dreaded, because mm-hmm. it was a very physically scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that we had Aiden Starr was our consultant on set, our BDSM consultant, but there's still always that fear. And there's the fear of, is the actress going to be able to go through this? Because at some point the line between acting and reality is so blurred, because mm-hmm. when it's BDSM and yes, like things like spanking and restraints, I mean, there's levels of faking that you can do, but in this particular act there was no faking, and she had to go through the same things that any submissive would go through.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there at the monitor as we're shooting, and I'm just like, we have to get this on one take, like we have to get through this quickly, because I didn't want her to be in any emotional distress.
Yeah.
Well, when the scene was over, and of course we checked in with her and made sure that she was comfortable and warm and everything was great, she was like, that was incredible. And it was really amazing for me, because I know she was going through what a submissive would go through, and she was so invested in the role, the character, and what was happening, that I was so proud that that she was part of the production, and so proud of the fact that we were able to do it, and everyone walked away still smiling.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Like what an incredible experience to be able to share that with your actor. And also I feel like part of being submissive and going through the things that you do as a submissive, which I do from time to time, it takes a lot of safety and trust. Yes. In order to be able to do that. And so I feel like as a director, that speaks very highly to the set and the scene that you've created that allowed that safety and trust.
No, and it's true. And it's interesting, because not only was it trust that she had in myself and the whole crew, but in the actor that was playing her dom, who they had an amazing chemistry.
Mm.
That really worked. And we were very fortunate, because in the production process or pre-production process, we did not do a chemistry read with them, because we did not have time.
Oh, wow.
And I was relying solely on the fact that I knew they were both exceptional actors. And I was like, let's just hope they get along.
happened. And it was funny because at the table read, he was very standoffish. And I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible. But I think he was just nervous because he's absolutely a true delight. And she said, I'm glad it was him because I could trust him that he wasn't going to hurt me. And, you know, that's all it's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's an acted dom-sub relationship, but in some ways it was a legitimate one.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I'm so excited to see and for everyone else to see when they watch the show. Like, that's part of what was getting me really excited just in the first two episodes was the build-up. And I think it's really interesting what we see unfolding between Skin Diamond's character and her dom, who I'm assuming is the dom that kind of carries us through the show. But, you know, I've already seen things in just these two episodes that, one, I feel like are kind of hat tips from your feminist porn work, in that we hear a lot of talk about clits and oral sex and pleasure and, you know, kind of exploring sex without shame. And, you know, Skin's character is very open and adventurous, and there's just this like unapologetic embracing of like women's sexuality, and I love that we're seeing that in mainstream television.
Yeah, and I mean, for her especially, I mean, she was the last role we cast because it was so, that character is so complex and so dynamic, like more, and it, I hate saying this, but those first two episodes, like, they don't even tease what really exists within the series. It's really these last three episodes or four to six that really just get into her and of course the other two leading ladies. But yeah, I mean, Skin's character is in for a very, very interesting road.
So I'd love to know kind of what your thought process was as you were kind of writing the series when it comes to consent, and how you wanted to, or if you even thought about it, kind of incorporate that into what we see unfolding with the characters as they explore this world of power dynamics and BDSM.
It was absolutely critical to me. And I also wanted to depict human flaws that exist within that, because I think we look at BDSM and it's nothing black and white, because people are still human. Mm-hmm. So there are still things about people that are not perfect. So you may consent, but then may have regrets to consenting, or you may consent and then question whether you really want something. There's so much more at play than just, oh, everything's great and I'm happy with this. Like, there's an emotional ride that you take whenever you're doing something that's out of your comfort zone that you want in the moment, but there may be moments of doubt, or even like with the example between Skin and her dom, they have a very close relationship, but they also have their own secrets that they keep from each other, which will later be revealed. And so when you have that, it's kind of like, these are imperfect people doing things that require a great deal of honesty, and how do BDSM relationships sort of, you know, what is the path that they take in a very humanistic way? I guess if I'm being honest, I mean, I didn't want it to be picture perfect.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm going to use my safe word and everything's great and everything's happy and I trust this person. And, you know, I wanted there to be more at play, because I think in any relationship, there's always challenges that you face and issues. And so how do people in BDSM face those challenges? And you're going to see that in the series as it progresses.
That, I can't even tell you what's happening in my body as I hear you talking about that, because it
Are
makes
you about to get out the whole necklace.
I know, right? No, it's just like, it makes me so elated. Like, that's, I think that's the word. It's just like elation to know that you wanted to create content that really wasn't about the perfect clean version of BDSM where everything goes perfectly and nobody makes mistakes. And the fact that you were thinking about that as you created this, I think that's such a gap in so much of the content that gets put out around BDSM, you know, and the stories that we read and the articles that get put out about how to do BDSM and, you know, the erotica that gets published about it, all of it is this very like polished, bleached version of what's actually going on, where there's regrets and there's pain and there's mistakes and there's, you know, all of us trying to do our best, but fucking it up along the way. And absolutely. So I'm like, I'm so excited to hear that was part of the creation process for you. Cause I feel like that's exactly the kind of conversation that's missing and that we need to be having.
Yeah. Because I think it's also, I mean, you know, where 50 Shades went to the extreme of, there was a lot of coercion and there was a lack of consent. Mm-hmm. I would have rather it really been kind of the road that we're taking here, which is like, what do real people with real emotions and real challenges, you know, in their emotional lives, what is their approach to BDSM, which is testing every boundary just in and of itself? And how does that kind of filter over into who you are outside of that relationship?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting road that these characters take.
I am so excited about this. So it might be way too early to ask this, but are there any whispers about a second season?
No, I met with one of the guys that I work with at Showtime last week, and he had said it really is going to come down to the numbers ultimately. And so I will tell you this. So we were up viewership from episode 1 and 2. We were up 93%, which is great. What I'm hoping is that, you know, people who are kind of like, well, I'm not really getting to know these characters very well in 1 and 2 are going to hang on there, because it is going to get really crazy and really incredible. But, you know, when we approached the series, there was always the possibility that we won't get a second season. And so it became, and it was funny because when I outlined the series, it was like, how does this end?
Yeah.
And it was funny because in the outline, I only outlined episodes 1 through 5, and we left 6 as kind of a Jackie, figure out how you want it to end as through the writing process, like what naturally comes to you. And what came to me, I believe, is the perfect ending if we never get a second season, but also leaves a gigantic cliffhanger for if there is a second season.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's kind of one of those movies. I don't know if you ever saw Breaking Bad, but season 3 ends on a really big cliffhanger. And if it had ended there, it kind of been like, okay, in my mind, I know where this is going, but I want to see more. But if it has to end here, I'm kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. That's like a long-winded answer to that. But
well, hopefully we will get some amazing numbers out of everyone being really curious to see this. And I know that I really want to share this with everybody because I'm really excited already by what I've seen. And I can't wait to see what episodes 4, 5, and 6 are going to deliver.
Tonight is episode 3, and it's setting the stage for what is going to quickly get out of control in 4, 5, and 6, but we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg tonight, and there's still a lot of exposition and still a lot happening tonight that is just setting the stage for what we're going to see in the last 3 episodes.
So what do you hope is kind of the main message or the main takeaway that people get when they watch your show?
That, I mean, and my goal and objective is always to help normalize, because I hate the word normal. It bothers me, especially when it comes to sex. But if I have to use that word, because that's how people describe it in mainstream, where I want to normalize what is often considered deviant or kinky. I'm air quoting kinky as I'm sitting here. Like, because I think that there's nothing that's deviant. There's nothing that is not normal, provided that everyone is consenting to it and it's legal.
Yeah.
So for me, it's how do I normalize what is considered a kink or what is considered deviant by so many? So when you're looking at the character of Ashley, who is the protagonist of the series, you know, she is a very everyday kind of relatable to the average woman. And yet there's a lot more going on there. And there are kinks and air quotes deviant sides to her that gets to be explored. And when you sort of package that in this very pretty, normal looking, you know, girl, it potentially could help people say, oh, you know, these kinks are not bizarre and weird and disgusting and grotesque and deviant. Mm-hmm. Like an everyday girl can have these kinks and it's completely okay. And it's completely normal.
Yeah. I love that. Then that's so much of what I strive to do with this show is the normalization of all aspects of our sexuality. And as long as it's consensual, we should be able to really explore whatever it is that we want to explore and either love it or hate it. You know, we can change our mind about stuff, but yeah, just to kind of have the freedom within ourselves to say, hey, this sounds kind of interesting. Maybe I should try it out instead of feeling ashamed that we've got that fantasy or that we're being pulled in that direction.
Yeah, and I think that it was funny because when I was talking to a class at UCLA, one of the things that they said was really interesting was in episode one where she's having the bad sex with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I mean, which most people have been in a relationship where they've been sexually unsatisfied, but they stay for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But they were saying that What often derails in relationships is that there's never the conversation of what you want until it's too late. And so I think for this, it's how do we have the conversation and also, you know, people should be equipped with, even if it's not your thing to try something that you consider a little maybe weird, that it's still okay that your partner mm-hmm. wants it.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely. I know one of the most common questions that we get here on the show is people who are trying to figure out how to tell their partner something or ask for something, because there's just so much fear around the rejection or the possible shaming, because all of us have been shamed at some point for, absolutely, you know, the sex we're interested in or the bodies that we're in or whatever it is. And so I love what you're saying about, you know, we need to find it within ourselves that if it's something that we're not interested in, to still allow the space for our partners or the people that we're having sex with to have that experience and for it to be okay for us to not be interested and allow it to be a truth for them. I think that's powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, I just hate hearing stories about people who are embarrassed to tell their partner about what they want and fear rejection. I mean, it's just heartbreaking to me that exists. I mean, I'm fortunate that I'm in a relationship where I can be honest about everything.
Yeah.
But I think that's not the norm and that's very sad.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And hopefully, you know, one of the things that we're constantly talking about is using porn as a conversation starter, so that instead of saying like, I'm interested in having threesomes, sharing a video and saying, hey, I thought this video about threesomes was really hot. What do you think? And right. I'm hoping that your show is also going to allow for that same kind of conversation and sharing to happen, where there's this really hot show that's on Showtime right now that's about BDSM, and maybe we can watch it together and have some new conversations.
Absolutely.
For all of the listeners out there, Submission airs on Thursdays at 11 p.m. on Showtime. We're also going to be talking to Ashlyn Yenny, who is the main character in Submission. So stay tuned for that. And Jackie, I just want to thank you so much for being so generous with your time and for sharing your creative process with us. I know that all of the listeners are going to be really eager to check out the show after this. So I just want to thank you for coming on and chatting with me.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely to talk to you and to meet a like-minded person.
Yes, we need a lot more of this in the world.
We need more of us out there.
Yes, we do. So, yeah, I just want to say thank you, Jackie. And to all of our listeners, stay tuned. Ashlyn Yenny is coming up next. Hey, everybody. It's Dawn Sarah with Sex Gets Real. And welcome to part two of our very special episode all about Showtime's brand new late night BDSM show, Submission. And joining me now, I'm super excited about this, is the lead star from Submission, Ashlyn Yenny. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on.
Yeah, Jackie was super cruel in the best of ways, teasing us with all of these amazing things that are coming in episodes 4, 5, and 6. And of course, 3 just aired on Thursday night and I watched it and it was super hot. So
yes.
I'm really excited to see what's coming next for your character, Ashley. And I'd love to know kind of, I know that you are not an adult entertainment actress. And so I'd love to know kind of like what drew you to this part and what appealed to you about the opportunity and what's it been like working on a show that's so sexual and delicious and naked.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, it was like last year, it was like October, and, you know, I had kind of an interesting year last year. I was like, I took a lot of time off and I was just working on myself and I really wasn't acting very much. And then I got this email from Jackie, and it was through my website, and she had like seen my reel, and she was looking for, you know, mainstream actors to come in and audition for this late night series. Well, I guess along the way, as she was trying to find actors, you know, a few agents and managers were like telling their actors, she's trying to do a porn film and get regular actors to be in her porn. And I thought that was really funny because I was like, well, if she was making a porn, wouldn't she just hire porn actors? You know, I was like,
right.
I would be the worst person to actually hire to like film having sex. Like that would be the most awkward thing in the whole world. I was like, she needs to hire the professionals. So I just thought that was insane. But, so she'd emailed me, she said, it's going to be a late night series. She said it's for a network. I can't tell you which one, but, it's along the lines of, Red Shoe Diaries, and you know, it just, would you like to come in and read for it? There's like six main characters, and there's like four main girls. And I was like, okay. And so I was curious. I was like, I want to meet her just because I looked her up and I was like, this lady is amazing. I was so fascinated by her story and just where she started out with being an actor, all these things, and how she got into writing porn and how she's basically been in the business for 5 years, which is, I mean, for me, I'm like, that's not that long, but
she's taken it by storm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I walked in and I went in and I read for the role of Jules, Ashley's best friend. And he was like super fun to play and like, you know, and she said, read for Jules. She doesn't do any of the BDSM stuff because she was like, this is going to be a show based off BDSM and, you know, kind of. She's like, she kind of says like 50 Shades of Grey, but not 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
And I was like, okay. So then I went and read for Jules, and she and Paul, one of the other producers, took my tape and sent it over to the guys at Showtime. And I got a call from her later that night, and she's like, hey, Ashlyn, it's Jackie. So I sent your tape over to Showtime, and I was like, oh, okay. Well, I was like, why is she calling me? This is so weird. And she's like, and we universally feel like you need to come in and read for Ashley.
Oh.
And I was like, what? I honestly was like, this is crazy. And I was like, wait a second. So you want me to come and read for the lead, the girl who goes on this like self discovery into the BDSM world? And she was like, yeah, we universally feel like you're her. And they said that to me, which was very, very nice. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. This is crazy. Like, I honestly don't know if I could play this because I'm not in the BDSM world. I've never really even had thoughts about it. It's never really been something in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a fan of 50 Shades. I mean, I saw the film. I read a little bit of, I think, the first book, and then I didn't finish it. And of course, Jackie's read all of them.
Yes.
I saw the film, but I saw it like much later. And, you know, I think I actually watched it when I was trying to do research into the BDSM world, because I was like, what am I not going to do? That's what basically I was researching for. But so then I went in and I said, I was like, okay, you know what? And selfishly as an actor, I was like, well, this will be great. At least I'll get seen by Showtime again.
Yeah.
So I was like, even if I don't take the role, or even if they don't offer me the role, I was like, at least I'll be seen by them again. And, so I went in, read for Ashley, and then I was going out of the country. I was going to Germany for something. And so I was like, if you guys need to get in contact with me, you're just going to have to talk to my agent. Mm-hmm. And so I was out of town, and Jackie was like, okay, here's the last two episodes of the series. And this is when everything goes down.
Yeah.
This is when the really the all the BDSM stuff is basically in those two episodes. Well, it's in four as well, yeah. But the really kind of like crazy stuff is in five and six. Mm-hmm. So she sent me those two episodes and said, read them and tell me if there's anything in it that you're like, I cannot do this. She goes, because whoever we hire has to do these things.
Yeah.
And it's acting and it's, you know, I'm not actually doing all of them, but then there are parts where I am actually doing it. So it's like this weird line between like fake and real, you know, like what's fake and what's real. And so she sent me the last two episodes and I read them, and then she sent over this list and it was like 30, I think it's like 34 very specific things that Ashley was going to do. And basically I'd only done like four of them.
Nothing like having to just jump in the fire.
I know. And I was like, I'm like reading it and I'm like, okay. And like, there were a few things that I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And I was like, okay. And then Jackie sent the list over to my agent, and my agent's so hilariously funny because she's wonderful. And my agent was like, Ashlyn, you can totally do this. This is nothing. And I was like, it's nothing? Really? It's nothing? Like, I feel like it's everything. Okay. And then I was like, okay. And so Jackie actually said to Paul, she goes, we're going to lose her. I'm going to send her this list and I'm going to lose her, because she wanted to be very, very forthcoming with what was going to happen in it. Mm-hmm. She's like, another actor, he's going to suck on your boobs. The other actor, he's going to be touching you. You know, you're going to be, you know, hit, you know, with a flogger, all these things are going, you're going to be restrained in different ways. Like, you know, you're going to be blindfolded and we're going to do stuff to your body. Like, that's all going to be portrayed. And but bigger than that, Ashley wants to do this.
Yeah.
So you need to play the girl who wants this, not the girl who's like 50 Shades doing it for someone.
Right.
She wants to do it. It's consensual. And I was like, yeah, totally. Okay. So I had to really, really think about it. And I was like, okay, you know what? I started like talking about it with my boyfriend, talking about it with basically my whole family, and just was like, okay, but I had to be pretty quiet about it because I didn't want anybody really knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So I said yes. And then I had about a month. I think I had like 3.5 weeks to prep. And so I just started researching as much as possible, you know, and, you know, just like really trying a few things out with my boyfriend, like different things, and just seeing like, but again, it's all going to be so much different on set.
Yeah.
And because I'm working with an actor who I don't know that well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a BDSM consultant, Aiden Starr, who's wonderful, who, you know, she really guided me. And then I had Skin Diamond Ray Lynn, who is a submissive, who has been in that world. And so I was very fortunate. And then Jackie directing me. So I was very fortunate that I had like this, you know, bubble around me of people who could really guide me and how to play her. And then we started filming.
And then you were in it.
And then I was in it. And there, I mean, I learned so much, not only about the BDSM world, but I learned so much about the adult industry as well. Because again, I'm not in that world. And we do have a lot of adult performers who play, you know, day player roles, and Skin, who plays Dylan. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, if I didn't know that they were in the adult world, I would just be like, oh, this is just another actor. Like, I wouldn't, like the stereotypical label of like, oh, they're porn actors, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, half of them just really like sex. You know, I was like, and that's why they do it. Most of them actually that we work with, that Jackie works with, they're not in it for like, oh, I just make a bunch of money and, you know, I'm in it for 6 months. Like, they're actually like really into this world. And it was exciting to learn about the adult industry as well as just open my world up to the world of BDSM.
Yeah, what an incredible way to get introduced to BDSM.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's so many questions that I have because this is all just so great. But I guess since we're talking about you having looked at this list and kind of talking to your boyfriend and doing research, and then you go in and filming starts and it just kind of all starts happening. You know, I know like the first time I went to a dungeon or the first time I was in a public space where everybody was naked, there's kind of this like 15 minutes of like, holy shit, I'm naked and people can see me. And then at some point it kind of becomes normal and you kind of forget that you're naked or it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Was that kind of your experience with filming a lot of the scenes that were either naked or very sexual or heavy with BDSM? Like, did you kind of reach a place where it felt kind of normal, or was the whole time just kind of like, whoa, this is really unbelievable?
I think I'm along the lines with you where there was probably like the first moment that, you know, you're naked and you're getting ready to do something. But really what happened for me as an actor who's playing this girl is I dove into her, and all of a sudden I was like, yeah, this is totally right.
Yeah.
This feels so comfortable. This feels exactly, she wants to be doing all this. So it didn't feel awkward. It didn't feel weird. And we also had, it was just a very close set. Mm-hmm. Like everyone there was just really, really supportive. Like everyone from the makeup artists to the DPs to the PAs on set who were like just getting water to the crafty, you know, everybody was super respectful and really, really just supportive in what you were doing. Mm-hmm. So it didn't feel awkward or like weird that I'm naked or doing these things. I felt like it was weird because especially with the DPs, we became so simpatico in the way we were moving. Like the way they were moving was moving with me. And so they were getting these incredible shots that were just so beautiful. And it was like, we were all just working together as one, you know, like this one thing. And it was just, and you see it in like for instance, in episode 3 that just aired, the scene between Jules and
the person that she's doing naughty things with?
Yeah, her boss. I can't remember her first name. But Nika, I know the actress's name, Nika, but Nika and Victoria are the two actresses mm-hmm. who play those two characters. And Scarlett and Jules, yeah. So Scarlett and Jules have this love scene, and it's so hot, but it's so beautiful at the same time. It's really beautifully shot. And I just love, like, I love when I can see, like, you know, everybody's work. So yeah. It's like the actors are working, but Jackie's directing, but then you can see like the cinematographers are doing really cool things, and it just all worked together, and it was really beautiful to me. And then, you know, you have a scene like in episode 2 with Raylan in the bathroom with Sydney yeah. Black, and it's so hot.
Yeah.
And I was like, you girls. And I was like, God damn. they're so sexy. And so I just love that there's like all these different types and everybody on set, we all just became extremely comfortable with each other. And the actor that I was working with mostly on all my sex stuff is Justin Barity. And mm-hmm. Justin is this amazing actor because he's so just in touch with himself and his body. And he's super confident, but he's really caring. Mm. And so playing Elliot, Elliot's character is not that way with everyone, but he's very much that way with Ashley. Like he cares about her, and he you know, it's like it's this weird type of like he wants to explore this world with her and show her this world, but at the same time he never pushes her, well, that's not true, he never like pushes her further than he thinks she can handle, but yeah. she doesn't think she can handle a lot of things, and he like guides her, and it's beautiful. It's like it was beautiful casting.
Well, I have to say, so the first time that Ashley and Elliot really interact happens in episode 3, which
yeah.
I just got to see. And the thing that struck me, and Jackie actually mentioned this, but it surprised me, was there was this intense on-screen chemistry between the two of you. And it just really, like, it popped for mm-hmm. me, and I felt it, and it was just wonderful how the two of you played off of each other, and it made kind of the anticipation of what's coming even hotter for me.
Yeah, totally. And the one of the interesting things about it is Justin and I never had a chemistry read. We just got on set and that was it. Like we did the table read, and Justin wasn't super, like, we were all kind of feeling each other out at the mm-hmm. table read, because we're like, hi guys, we're all going to just see each other naked in a few days.
Right.
Like, and it was kind of that interesting moment as actors, you're just kind of like, and even Jackie was just like, what's happening? What's going to happen with all these actors? Like, I hope they have chemistry. And mm-hmm. Justin and I we'd barely spoke at the table read. And then it was interesting because the first scene that Justin and I have to do when we filmed was a scene that you're going to see in episode 3. And it's or not episode three, episode six, and it's extremely emotional.
Oh, wow.
It's the height of what happens between them. It's so emotional. And they're so, you know, at each other. And it's so interesting to film that first, mm-hmm. because that brought us, like, instantly connected. And then we got to film all, like, the beautiful sex stuff that we go through and the BDSM stuff. So it was really interesting how Jackie chose to shoot that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I Justin's amazing. And I do have a connection with him as, you know, a performer. And mm-hmm. he and I work really, really well together. And so I'm glad it came across, you know.
Yeah, it did. And I'm so eager to see episodes 5 and 6. Jackie actually hinted at something, and she said that there's something that happens in at the end of the season that's never been done on television before, and she was really worried about your, like, psychological safety and mental safety, because you were going to have to, like, for reals do this really intense thing, and that afterwards you kind of said to her, wow, that was a really wonderful experience. And for her, mm-hmm. as the writer and director, that was kind of the most, like, special part of this whole experience.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to know kind of what is something that's really stood out for you of being part of this series, either that happened behind the scenes or that was part of the filming, but, like, what was kind of one of your favorite or funniest or most special moments?
For sure, that moment that she's talking about specifically, that Jackie's referencing, there is something that she has me do in the series. And she was very nervous about filming it, just because this was the most nervous thing she was going to direct. And she was extremely, extremely nervous. She was nervous all day about it. She, like, couldn't sleep, you know, the night before. And I was super excited about doing it. I can't tell you what it is, 'cause it's just so good.
We will all just have to watch it 11 PM Eastern on Thursdays.
I know. It's so interesting. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. And it's a part of the BDSM, you know, world. And so it's just this thing that I was, like, I was super stoked to try to do it. I was scared, you know, shitless, of course, because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to handle it, you know, because it is a really huge amount of restraint. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. And a lot of trust that I had to give over to Justin, mm-hmm. with all 5 senses, you know, I was, yeah. like, you are going to just, he's going to have control over everything. And, so we filmed it, and even the camera operator, the DPs were like, that was trippy, you know. And Jackie she was afterwards, you know, they had to make sure, like, my pupils weren't dilated too mm-hmm. much, like, how much, you know, oxygen was, like, did I lose or not lose, and because my breathing was so shallow, all of these things were happening. And so Aiden was there, the BDSM consultant, and I remember when they got me out of this scene, I was sitting there, and Aiden came up to me, and she was, like, rubbing the bottom of my feet, and she looked at me, and she goes, you're a lot stronger than you think you are.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, I am. And I felt really, really empowered. And I felt mm-hmm. empowered throughout the whole filming of this. And it really did change me as, you know, a person, because I learned so much about who I am as an actor, like, how much I can handle truly psychologically, as well as physically, how much I can really handle, and how it's not as scary as we think it is. 'Cause yeah. we think it's this, like, oh my gosh, you're going to get hit. No, it's not. You're not getting beat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like that. So it's really, it was just super interesting, and it changed so much for me. And, so that was one thing. But I mean, there's every day on set was like that. I learned more and more. I did more and more things that got me outside of my box mm-hmm. as Ashlyn. And really going into Ashley, I was like, wow. Like, I told this to my mom. I said, you know, even though this isn't me, like, I learned so much about myself playing her, but it was such a cool role to get to do. I was mm-hmm. so fortunate that I got cast as this girl. You know, and I can't say that with every single role I've ever done.
Yeah.
But because it's just such an amazing role, and they don't come around often like this, you know?
Yeah. I love the journey that you got to go on professionally and personally. I think that, I think that that's honestly evident in just the 3 episodes that I've seen, and I'm so excited for everyone to see the rest. And I guess I'm curious, now that you've had these experiences, do you think that this might be something that you explore a little bit in your personal life with your boyfriend?
Yeah, there are things like I found out that I was like, oh, I actually enjoy that. Like,
yay!
It's super interesting. There's, because, you know, I didn't have an opinion either way, mm-hmm. you know, about, you know, BDSM. Because a lot of people have like the stigma, like, oh, it's for people that are like this, or they're like yeah. sex addicts, or blah, blah, blah. And they have like this like kind of judgy kind of way of perceiving it. But for me, I don't judge anything. I'm like, whatever floats your boat, people. Mm-hmm. Everybody's different. Everyone has different tastes. But the greatest thing that I think about the 50 Shades of Grey series is mm-hmm. that it opened up a dialogue
yeah.
that a lot of people weren't talking about. But what Submissions is trying to do is, and Jackie is trying to do, is change people's perception of what they think it is mm-hmm. and what it really is.
Yeah.
Because the biggest, like, I did an interview with Raylan a couple days ago, and she was just like, the biggest thing is it's consensual. Like, you don't ever just do something to someone without being like, is this okay? Is this good? Do you like this? No? Do you want me to hold back? Like, it's in communication constantly.
Yeah.
And it opened up this line of communication. And so, yeah, so I feel like for me personally, yeah, it has opened me up to the world of it, and I'm not opposed to certain things, which is great.
Yeah. I mean,
if anything, it's so interesting, because the first episode you really do see like every conversation that I feel like a lot of, you know, couples have, where it's like, no, you really don't understand what I need. What do you mean mm-hmm. I don't understand what you need?
Yeah. Like,
and because people are in relationships where they're having sex, where it's just like, huh, it's not that great, but they think, well, at least I'm having sex,
yeah. or,
you know, but they're not really fully enjoying what it can be.
Yeah.
You know?
And so. I think one of the things that you said too, that's so important earlier, was you were talking about how, you know, unlike Anastasia in 50 Shades of Grey, Ashley is really following her own curiosity down this rabbit hole, and it's her own journey, and she's choosing this for herself, and then things start to happen as a result of that. And I think yep. that's such an important aspect of the story, of it's not something that she's either having passively done to her, or she's doing it out as a way to keep someone in her life.
Yeah.
But instead, Ashley's actually kind of, well, this book's really interesting, or this thing that somebody else is doing is interesting, and it's kind of like piquing her curiosity. And I think that's really powerful.
It is. And it's a really powerful statement for women in film and TV. It's like, you're not doing something for someone else. Mm-hmm. You're not making this decision because you want to keep the guy, or you want to, you know, like you said, keep someone's interest. Like, she's doing it for herself. Like, she's doing this journey. She's going on this journey. It just so happens that she finds this person that she gets to connect with in this way.
Yeah.
And, but it's almost like this, like, very selfish way, but she's just on this journey to figure out what she really wants. And it's really interesting to watch, because, for instance, because we all know in 50 Shades, you know, she constantly says, like, I don't know why you want to do this. Like, why yeah. do you, you know what I mean? Like, like, why? And that was something, never was Ashley like, why? She's like, if he posed something to her and he was like, I would like to try this. Or she actually comes to him at one point in something and she's like, I want to do this. And he's like, I don't think we should. And she's like, I want to do it. Not for you, for me. I want to prove to myself I can do it.
Yeah.
And that's really, really powerful, because she does do it, and it's awesome.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait yeah. to see it. Oh my gosh, this is so fun. So if there is a season 2, which Jackie said kind of the series wraps up so that if this is it, this is it. And then it's got a good kind of like cliffhanger ending, but that also feels okay if it doesn't. But if they were to renew, would this be something you'd be interested in continuing to work in?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I love, you know, I loved the whole filming process with the people we had. If we could get the same exact crew back, it would be amazing. I love working with Jackie. I think she's just, like I said, when I first met her, I was so intrigued by her, and I was like, I would hang out with you in real life. And she was like, oh. And then I honestly, I have become, you know, really good friends with her. And she's just, she's wonderful. And I think she really has a knack at what she's really good at portraying, you know, really great characters and giving actors like really good stuff to work on. And so, yes, if they do a season two, I'm definitely ready for it. I mean, the thing is, it's like how the cliffhanger ends. You're left. For me, I was like, what happens? Because but everyone's going to be like that because every single character, it all ties in, but every single character's, their thread is waving in the wind of where are they going to go?
Oh, wow.
What's going to happen with them? Yeah. And so there's a closure, but yet not, because there's so many different directions. And she leaves it with a really good cliffhanger.
Oh.
I mean, it's really good. And so for me, I'm like, I want there to be more.
Yeah.
I was driving the other day and I was like, would Ashley and Rafe end up together? What would happen? I was like, it wouldn't work out. You know, and I was going I was like going into Ashley's mindset and like, oh, why wouldn't it, you know, like all this stuff with Rafe. And it was interesting. It's so, yeah.
That's exciting.
Maybe we'll get a season two.
Yeah. I feel like if you like leave a season and you're still thinking about it and you're wondering what comes next and you're kind of trying on different new chapters, I feel like that's always a really good thing from a storytelling perspective, that people are eager for more.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what's the one thing that you really hope people either take away from watching the show or enjoy from watching the show now that you've kind of finished and people are starting to see it and comment on it? Like, what's that thing that you just really hope everyone gets out of it?
The first and foremost thing is that it opens up a dialogue of what BDSM actually is. Mm-hmm. And I just really want, and this was like the thing that I said to Jackie, I was like, and like what she wants is you want to portray it truthfully. These, you know, these characters who go through this, whatever it is, like the different relationships in it, but the BDSM world, opening up the dialogue of knowing actually what it is instead of this stigma that's put on it. Mm-hmm. And then also I love what's happening now is because there's couples who are watching it and they're, if it opens up, you know, this dialogue between couples of communication of like, oh, well, maybe I could try that. Or maybe that doesn't look as scary because they're going on this journey with Ashley, who quote unquote is very vanilla when she starts mm-hmm. out. And then she goes on, you know, and she tries these new things. So if it can open up that dialogue between couples where they feel more comfortable and confident to have these, you know, sexual explorations, then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And I really think it's somebody said, they go, you're really doing like a public service announcement.
Yes.
And I was like, I love it. They're like, actually, this is like sex ed, if anything, because like, for instance, my boyfriend, he was watching the first episode where, you know, like they're saying it's an oral fixation, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he comes up to me and he's like, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I do a ton of ear shit. And I was like laughing and I was like, you're so silly. And he's like, no, think about it. I'm constantly messing with my ear. Like, constantly. And I was like, okay, cool. So it really is like, I was like, maybe we are teaching people things. I don't know.
Yeah. I really think you are. You know, I think that's one of the things that I try to do with this podcast is I want people to just have more access to more information and for ways to be able to talk about things in a non-scary way. You know, I think it takes a lot of courage to just sit down with somebody that you have a relationship with and say, so I have this fantasy I've never told you about, but if instead you can put on submission and as you're watching it, kind of talk about how you're feeling about it, that's a much lower risk conversation, but it's still giving you an opportunity to share that moment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I definitely think that's happening. Like a guy tweeted at me like a couple days ago and was like, my wife and I are fans of the show. Like, we're just like so into it. And I was like, I guarantee you that couple is just, you know, it's opened up this like, well, maybe like, would I like that? Maybe I would like that. Or what is that? You know, type thing. So, and we haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet. So that's the thing that I keep telling people. I'm like, wait till we get into the good stuff.
I can't wait to see Twitter in 3 weeks.
I know, right? It's gonna, I'm scared.
Well, I will be tweeting about it, so there you go.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing all about the show and your experience and what it was like with all of our listeners, because I know that everybody who listens is really interested in sex and BDSM and trying new things. And so this show is like right up their alley. And I'm just so excited that you were here to kind of share with us.
I was happy to. Thank you so much. Yeah. I mean, anytime I can talk about it and get people, change people's perception of what they think it is. It's like BDSM. Like, it's the same thing we have to do with the show, you know, change people's perception of what it is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm all for it. So thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. And to everybody out there listening, you can catch Submission on Showtime at 11 p.m. Eastern on Thursday nights. There's three more episodes that haven't aired yet. And of course, after the series is over, you'll still be able to watch it on Showtime. So go catch up. There's three episodes out right now, three more to come. There's so much sexiness just waiting for you. And if you've got any questions for me or comments about the show, go to sexgetsreal.com, use the contact form, and I will talk to you next week. This is Dawn Sarah with Sex Gets Real. Bye.